Thank you very much. They tell the story about Rabbi Yosef Shaul Natanzon, that there was once a conference of Rabbanim, and all of the Rabbanim were sons of Rabbanim, and each one in turn said a Dvar Torah that he heard from his father. Rabbi Yosef Shaul Natanzon's father was a baker. So after the first four Rabbanim finished saying the Dvar Torah, so he said he heard from his father that a fresh little roll is better than an old stale loaf of bread. So he's going to say over Shtikl Torah that he said just today. So I will say over a Dvar Torah that we just worked on this week. Yeshiva is learning Bava Metzia. We just finished the first perek, and we're chazering now. It's a little complicated in Yonim, so I picked out an easy topic, but an interesting one. The Gemara in Bava Metzia, as well as in Kiddushin, has a very strange discussion, an argument between Rav and Shmuel about a case that probably never came up in the history of the world. A man gives a ring to his sister, and he says, Hariat Mukudeshisli, Hamakadosh Achoisai. So they both assume that he's not an Am Haaretz, Adam Yodea, Shein Kiddushin Tovsim Achos, everybody knows that. So he's not a moron, and he must have meant something. So what did he mean? So Rav and Shmuel have an argument. What is the umdana, psychological umdana? What should we assume? Should we assume he probably had a mind to give his sister a matana? So why did he say a matana? Why did he say Hariyat Mekudeshes? Because he probably thought she would be embarrassed to accept a matana. So he camouflaged the matana by saying Hariyat Mekudeshes. But she can keep the ring. It's a matana. And the other opinion is no, that he probably meant that she should hold it as a pikadon. So why didn't he say, please hold the pikadon? He was afraid she may not want to service him to hold the pikadon. So he camouflaged it, and he said, Hariyat Mekudeshes. So it's a machlokes between Rav and Shmuel. The case probably never came up in the history of the world, but they're arguing, what do you think the din should be? So then the Gemara applies this dispute to an additional case, same dispute Rav and Shmuel, in a case that's discussed at length in Bava Metzia. Someone stole a field, and he's selling the field to me, and I know hikibo shein shelo. I know that the field is stolen, and I give him $500,000 for the field. So what did I have in mind? I know that he can't sell a field that doesn't belong to him. I know it's a stolen field. So I clearly didn't have in mind to acquire ownership of the field. So what did I have in mind? So the one who says that by the kiddushin he must have had in mind l'shei matana says over here also he must have had in mind to give a gift. Why should you want to give a gift of $500,000 to him? Akasha Famaisa. He probably had a mind to give him a gift, so why didn't he say so? He was afraid the other fellow wouldn't want to take it. He's afraid the Ganav won't want to take the gift. Very strange Gemara. So we assume he must have meant L'shem Matona. And the other Amora says, no. Just like by the Kiddushin case, he thinks that he didn't have in mind L'shem Matona, he had in mind L'shem Pikadon. So over here also, after the field is taken away by the rightful owner, when the Nignav catches up with the Ganav and he takes back his field, so it's assumed that the Ganav has to reimburse the one who gave him the $500,000. It was intended as a pikudin. And the Gemara explains that one could have made a psychological umdin by the Kiddushin that wouldn't apply by the Mecher, and one could have distinguished in the other direction, but Rabbi Shmuel think that it's the same psychology both by the Kiddushin and by the Mecher. So it's interesting that the Gemara works on the assumption, both Rav and Shmuel assume, Adam Yodea, Shein Kiddushin Tovsin Machos, everybody knows that Kiddushin are not Tovsin, so he must have intended something else. He's not a moron, so we're trying to figure out psychologically what did he really have in mind. And everybody knows that you can't acquire ownership of a field. Hikibo Shein Shalom, I know that he's a Ganav, I know the field doesn't belong to him. So everyone knows, everyone agrees, that he certainly didn't have in mind, the one who gave the $500,000 to buy the field, certainly didn't have in mind to buy the field, so we're trying to guess psychologically, what did he have in mind when he gave the money? So the question is, how come in the Gemara in Erechin, that's on this week's Parshas HaShavua, the Gemara in Erechin, all of a sudden it's a machlokes hatanoim. The Chumash has, if a person takes a pledge to donate to Hegdish an amount of money, he pledges to give $500,000 to Yeshiva, Lamazov. Make it 100 million. Can't yearbook. Whatever. He pledges. So you got to give the money. So the person pledges to give it to the Beis HaMikdash. You got to give. What if he says, Dama Valai, I pledge to give to Hegdish, to the Beis HaMikdash, or to the Yeshiva, the value of this individual person. So the Mishnah says, Shaman also, you have to assess how much the person would sell on the slave market. Lincoln freed the slaves, no slave market in America, so you would pay nothing. But the years ago, there used to be a slave market, so Shaman also, you have to assess, Kama hu shav Lincoln bashuk, how much would he be worth on the slave market? So the Mishnah distinguishes between saying Doma Valai as opposed to Erko Valai. If you say Doma Valai, so you say you have to pay Kama hu shav Lincoln bashuk, how much would he sell for as an Eved? But if he says Erko Alai, so then you pay kefid the amount of money that's mentioned in the Chumash. So it depends, is the person between the, what about whom I say Erko Alai, is he between the age of a month and five? Is he between the age of 5 and 20? Is he between the age of 20 and 60? Is he over 60? Is it a male? Is it a female? So the psukim in the Parshas HaShavua spell out all of these. What if it's a child before the month is up? He says, Erech tinuk ze alai, in his pachas bin ben chodesh, so the chumash doesn't give any erech at all. So there's a machlekes hatanoim in the Mishnah and erechin. How do you deal with such a case? So one tana is of the opinion, Reb Meir is of the opinion, Odim yadeya, everybody knows chumash, halavai. Apparently, these are the tanoim, everybody knew what it said in chumash. Odim yadeya, everybody knows, ain erech le pachas bin ben chodesh. And he's not a moron. So he said, Erko Alai on a little baby who's just born. So it's an umdina that he certainly had in mind, l'shem domim. Because Eidan emaits the dvar of Labatol, he must have meant something, and he must have meant domov. And the Chachamim disagree, and they say, no, Oda emaitsi dvar of Labatol. He didn't mean anything. So how come over here, we paskin like the Chachamim, that Oda emaitsi dvar of Labatol, how come over here all of a sudden, both by Mekadosh Achoso, the fellow gives the ring to his sister, Harriet Mekudeshes. So the Gemara, Adam Yadeh, Shein Kiddushin Tov Samachoso. And he must have had in mind something else. So we just have to determine, psychologically, what did he have in mind? Did he have in mind L'shem Atona? Did he have in mind L'shem Pikodin? Why don't you say, Adam Yadeh, Dvar Vatola? He didn't have in mind anything. And the same thing by buying the stolen field. Say, Adam Yadeh, Dvar Vatola. How come all of a sudden here, that both Rabbi Shmuel agree, Ein Adam Yadeh, Dvar Vatola, that's the opinion that's not accepted in there. How come there it's a machlokes hatanaim, here it's not? So, as I said, we just learned this the other day. We're chazering from Tezvav to the end of the first parak. So we explained, there's a Tshuvas HaRadvaz that's quoted by the Steich Emet. Very strange. The Steich Emet was an encyclopedia that existed already. So when the Encyclopedia Talmudit was published, you would have thought that they would have certainly first looked in the Steich Emet to see what they have. So in the Encyclopedia Talmudit, under Ein Anu Motzeh Dvar Vatola, they don't quote this Tshuvas HaRadvaz. I sent him a letter many years ago. They never answered. Okay. So, in his Nechemin, he quotes a Tshuvas HaRadvaz that the Rishonim seem to say, the Gemara seem to say, everybody agrees, Eidan HaMoitzi Dvar HaVatola, Kol HaTorah Kula, we assume, he must have meant something, he's an intelligent person, so we have to assess psychologically, what did he have in mind? The only time there's a Machlekes HaTanaim is by Inyoni HaFloya, by taking a neder lehegdish, because you have a pasuk in Parshas Vayikra that says, Nefesh kisishova levatid bisfasayim. A neder or a shvua in yoni haflor, you have to pronounce with your lips. If goma beliba, you made up your mind, oma shmuel, goma beliba, made up your mind to accept a neder or a shvua, it's not binding, sorch lehoitze bisfasa. You have to pronounce a neder or the shvua with your lips. And even though by hegdish, the Gemara says hegdish is an exception to the rule, because we have a pasuk in Divrei HaYomim, that says, Kol Nediv Levoilis Heviu, whoever was Menadev Belibo to donate a Korban Oile to the Beis Hamikdash brought it. So the Gemara says that the Hegdish is an Korban Oile, Hegdish Korbanis is an exception to the rule. So the Rishonim say that's if he was Goma Belibo to bring a Korban Oile. What if he intended to say it Bepeh? He started to say a Neder, so then Halacha says, even by Hegdish, you have to have Dibur, you have to have Amira. That's why there's a whole institution of Yad. If a person, we learned this in Bob Mitzvah also, if a person takes a neder and he said a half a sentence, and we can't hunchdois on what the end of the sentence is, we can understand what the end of the sentence is, but he never said the whole sentence. So we learn out from a pasuk in Chumash that that's considered levate b'sfasayim, even though he didn't pronounce the whole neder explicitly, if he said part of the sentence, and we understand from what he said, it's a Yad HaMachiach. It's pretty obvious. It's 90% obvious, 80% obvious what the end of the sentence would have been. It's considered as if he said the whole sentence. So by Inyoni HaFloa, the halacha requires dibur. Nefesh kisishova levatim b'sosan. So there, and only there, there is a machlekes of man and chachamim. So the Chachamim say, what he said is nonsense. He said, Erech Tinuk Ze'olai, the Tinuk is not even 30 days old. He certainly meant to say Doma V'olai, but he didn't say it. He didn't say it, so it's not binding. Maybe to Hegdish, if he would have been Goma Baliba, he would have been Mechuyav, Kol Nadiv Levoy L'Saviv. But if he intended to say an Amira and he didn't say it, so you're left with nothing. The Machshava is not binding because he intended to have an Amira. And the Amira, he didn't say the right thing. He says, Erko Alai, so it's not binding. And Rameir disagrees. Rameir comes up with this Chiddush. Ein on the Moitzi, the Baal Vatala, Chachamim also agree. And Kola Tarakula, that you don't need Amira, everyone agrees. Ein on the Moitzi, the Baal Vatala. So he didn't mean what he said. He certainly meant something else. So we have to ascertain psychologically what did he mean, whatever he meant. So that's his kavana is binding. Whatever he meant is binding. Either l'shem matan or l'shem pikon. The only time there's the machlokes is by inyoni hafloah. Kol ha-terakula, they all agree. There is such a similar issue in another area of halacha where it's also machlokes ha-me'en ha-chachamim, and there the shitas ha-hafuchas, the shitas are the reverse. We have in the Chumash the parsha of Bnei Gad Bnei Reuven that the original plan was that Eretz Yisrael was going to be divided among the 12 Shvatim horizontally, across. So every Shevet was going to get a section in Eretz Yisrael and a section in Eber HaYarden. You should read the Rav Rashi. Ruchim Abayim. Ruchim Abayim. So the original plan was that the Ramban explains on Chumash, Eretz Yisrael was going to be divided into 12 sections like this, and every Shevet was going to get a section in Eretz Yisrael and a parallel section in Eber HaYarden, like that. And Bnei Gad and Reuven, and Chatzis Shevet HaManasseh, they had a lot of sheep, and they, for them, it was better to have grazing area, and Eber HaYarden was better for them. So they requested of Moshe Rabbeinu that the plan should be changed. Instead of everybody getting across, everybody should get the whole area together. Now Moshe Rabbeinu consulted the Ribbono Shel'olam, always a good idea, consult the Ribbono Shel'olam. So the Ribbono Shel'olam told them, "Im yavru nesatim, lo yavru menochezu b'seichechem." So the Gemara establishes the principle of Tanai, that you can make Kiddushin ala Tanai, you can give a get ala Tanai, you can do Mechir ala Tanai. There is an institution of Tanai, based on the parsha of Tanai b'nei God b'nei Reuven. So the Gemara says that since the whole institution of Tanai is a Kiddush, if not for the parsha, we would have thought that you can't do such a thing. So the only time that Tanai will be valid is if you worded it in accordance with the Mishpatei HaTanayim that appear by Bnei Gad Bnei Reuven. So the Gemara learns that from the parasha you need Tanai Kofel. You have to have the hen and the na and the lav, and you have to have hen kodem lalav and Tanai kodem lamaisa, and all the rules and regulations. The Mishpatei HaTanayim, the Rambam refers to it as Mishpatei HaTanayim. So the Gemara has a machlokes Rav Meir Nachachamim, a Mishnah and Kiddushin, regarding this story of Tanai Kofel. Is it really necessary to repeat the hen and the lav? Maybe if he said one of them, we should say Mechlale ha hen atosha mea lav, or Mechlale lav atosha mea hen, and that'll be sufficient. Maybe it's not really, in principle, you really have to say both the hen and the lav, but maybe if he said one of them, maybe that's sufficient. Maybe Mechlale hen atosha mea lav, it's considered as if he said Tanai Kofel. And the Gemara has this machlekes Rameh Nachachamim by Nedorim as well. By Nedorim, Shavuos, the Pashtus should be the same. There's an opinion in Tosfos that it's a difference, but the Pashtus should be the same. A person takes a neder of a Shavuos and he says a negative. He says, what's an example? He says, he's invited to Kamach Beis to a bar mitzvah and to an oifruf, so he says, I will show up to the Yafruf. What it means to say is, I take a neder, I will show up to the Yafruf. It means that I take a neder, I'm not going to show up to the bar mitzvah. He says something in the positive, and it really means the negative. And it's clear and obvious what he's driving at. So that's a machlekes hatanaim, is a neder of a shvua chal in such a case. Because neder in shvua need levate bisvasayim, you have to pronounce it, and he did pronounce it, but he didn't say explicitly what he means. He said the opposite. But you can infer from what he said what he meant to say. So that's a machlekes Rameh Nachachamim, where they say Mechlal Hen Atosha Me'alav, or Mechlal Lav Atosha Me'ahen. So the Gemara says in Masechet Shavuos that in Kol HaTorah Kul, the Gemara talks about the Toicheche, you have brachas HaKlalus. So it says, if you do the mitzvahs, you get a bracha. So it's obvious if you do the averus, you get a klal. The Gemara says, not so obvious. Maybe if you do the mitzvahs, you get a bracha. If you don't do the mitzvahs, no bracha, no klal. So the Gemara says, but basically, there's so many psukim in Chumash, where the Chumash only writes in one direction, and we assume everybody agrees, mechalal hen atoshameh ala, mechalal ala atoshameh hen. So the Gemara says that there are certain cases that bein l'rab meir, bein l'chachamim, everybody agrees, mechalal hen atoshameh ala. In certain cases, where there is a machlekes. So when do they all agree? When is there a machlekes? So when we learn Masechah Shvuos, Rav Soloveitchik explained in the name of Rav Chaim, when you need dibur mefurish by nedarim and shvuos, you need nefes kishishava levat bisvasam. You have to say mefurish. If goma belibo tzorach lohetz bisvasam, we have to say. And even if there's an umdir in the muchach, absolutely clear and obvious what he's driving at, it's still not binding. You have to have levat bisvasam. If you make sign language and it's clear what he's driving at, still no good. That's not a neder, it's not a shul. You have to have levat bisa sign. And by Tanai Kofel, you have to have dibur mefurish. That's what you learn from the Pesukim Mechumish, from the Parshas Bnei Gadim Neruven. So whenever you need dibur mefurish, then and only then is there a machlekes, Ramei Nachachamim. Should I say Mechlal Hen Atoshamei Alav or not? In Kol HaTorukul, everybody agrees, Mechlal Hen Atoshamei. The Mashmois is the inference. He makes it obvious what he's driving at. Everybody agrees in Kol HaTorah Kulo that the Mashmois is the Lav, or is Mechlal Abato Shemehen. It's clear and obvious what he's driving at. The only time where there's a Machlekes is where you need Dibur Mefurish by Nedarim Meshvuas, or by Tanai Kofel. So then it's a Machlekes HaTanoim. So there is of the opinion Mechlal Hen Iato Shemeh Lav. That's not considered Geret. That's an Ish Geret. It's by implication, we can read his mind. He made it obvious what he's driving at. Basop, bottom line, he didn't say it. So you don't have a neder, you don't have a shvun, you don't have a tanai. A tanai has to be dibur mefurish. And the chachamim disagree, and they say no. Mechlal hen atosha me'alav. The inference is so clear that it's considered dibur mefurish. So it's interesting that Reb Meir is the Tana who says, when the man says, erech tinuk ze alai, hamarech tinuk poches mit ben chodesh. So Rav Meir says over there, Eidan Amaitz Dvar Batola, even though he said Erech Plani Alai, he really meant Dnei Plani Alai. He says, since it's obvious what he meant, Dos Heis Gizok. It's considered as if he said it. And by Tanai, it's the reverse. Rav Meir is the one who says, Nechlal Hen Yatosh Me'elav, Sinish Geretz, Sinish Beferish Gizok. It's not Dibim Furish. And the Chachamim will say by the Tanai one way, so by the this case they say Faket. It's not a stira, but it's a similar topic, and the Shitas Ahafuchas over there. So again, this is what we discussed this week. Bava Metzia, the first paragraph of Bava Metzia is very complicated. This is one of the easier inyanim that we learned this week. Thank you very much.